You turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Has anyone heard anything about Bob and Margaret?
Yes. He had a good night. I forgot that. He had a good night last night. Terrible night before last, but a good night last night.
He's at home, though.
No, he's still in the hospital.
In the hospital. Well, I didn't know. Well, we want to remember and pray for Bob. Bob's been a faithful soldier of the cross. I'll read a couple of verses here in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." In that 28th verse, it says, "He took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Well, the most important thing in our lives is the salvation of God. There's nothing that I know of or that I can think of that will compare to the importance of the salvation of a man's soul. Everything else must be put in the background. Salvation is forever. When we, who are the children of God, draw our last breath, we enter in to a real world, the world of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns. He's the Son of God, and He's the Son of man. And He is as much God as if He was never man. and as much man as if it was never God. None like him. There's only one, Lord Jesus Christ, who always was, always will be. He never changes. I remember something I read years ago of a fella in England who attended Mr. Spurgeon's Metropolitan Baptist Church, and they kind of made light of him because he wasn't all there head-wise. And he used to go around singing, "I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." One thing he knew above everything else, and knew for sure, that Jesus Christ was his all in all. "I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." Well, I hope that my soul has the same aspirations of that poor fellow there in England. "I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." Well, I said all that to say this, and I know that I've said it before, and Marvin has constantly said it and used it for various subjects. Who is Jesus Christ? A man must know him if he has any hope of the world to come. A man, you've got to know him. Not necessarily know about him, but to know him who is life eternal. That's how important he is. He's the most important figure of a man that ever lived upon the face of the earth and that will ever live upon the face of the earth. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all man. He's a real man. And he's God in Christ. This old boy that I read from here in Luke chapter 2, he says, Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Let me talk to you just a little bit about who is Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say is this. He was born in poverty and reared in obscurity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the son of a unmarried young woman. His foster father was a carpenter. Inconspicuous and uninfluential. He had no formal training or education. I'm talking about, who is this man called Jesus? No formal training or education. He never traveled more than 90 miles from his hometown. His friends were poor and unknown. He never owned a house or a piece of ground. He never held public office in any city. And his only possession that he had was his, all his, was the robe on his back. At the age of 33 years, he was accused by the religious Pharisees of his day of preaching heresy. And upon the testimony of false witnesses, he was sentenced to be hanged on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ. He only had about 12 or 13 followers. Came into this world, the King of Kings and the King of Glory, who had a crown and the only crown. Sentenced to be hanged on a tree. Judas denied him. The Bible says that God the Father, when he was hanging on the tree, hanging on the cross, that the Lord said to his Father, "Why doest thou this to me?" Crucified on a tree, this man called Jesus. Nailed on a cross between two thieves. And during his dying hour, according to the testimony of his Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father turned away from him and he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'm trying to give you a picture of him whom to know is life eternal. A picture of him who is the greatest man that ever lived in creation. God turned away from him. He said, "Why have you turned away from me?" He's taken down from the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. He never wrote a book or a magazine, yet all the libraries in the world could not contain the books written and printed about him. He never wrote a song that's in a hymn book. He never founded any schools or colleges, yet all the colleges put together cannot boast of as many students as those who have studied his life. He never studied medicine, yet he healed more broken bodies and hearts than all the doctors that ever lived from the first day unto the last. He's the Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about. Who is He? Who is He? You gotta know Him. You gotta know Him. It's not to know about Him. It's to know Him. And as Marvin says over and over, that God's got to give you a heart to love Him. Not just going through the motion, but in actuality, that your heart is joined with His heart, that you love Him. And you're going to do your best to honor and to glorify Him. You live for Him and die for Him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Satan could not seduce Him. And the religious leaders of the day questioned Him, but never got an answer. Lawyers could not entangle Him. Pilate could find no fault in Him. Death could not destroy Him. And bless God, the grave could not hold Him. I'm talking about Him whom to know is life eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him is heaven bound, to know Him. Well, you say, what did He do that was so great? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've said, is all man and all God in one person. And as much God as if He was never man, and as much man as if He was never God. Unique in that respect. But He was a real man. And He came into this world to save the people that God ordained to be saved. Now, He didn't come to save the whole world. I know that the majority of religious people believe today that Christ died for everybody. And makes no difference what the situation is or how good they are, how bad they are. They always fall back on Christ came to save sinners. We're all sinners, so He's going to save us all. No, He came to save a people that He chose unto Himself before time ever was. Let me read something here in light of that in the book of Ephesians. I'll find it here in a minute. In the book of Ephesians here it says, according, now listen to this. Now He didn't come to save everybody, He come to save His people. He has a people and He's going to save them. Come hell or high water, He's going to save His people, every one of them. Not one of His people will ever be lost. He's going to save them. It says this now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now listen here. According as He hath chosen us, according as He, God, hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, these that He chose are those that Christ came to die for and make atonement for and save their souls. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in Him in the Beloved. My soul. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. Listen to this now. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, those that He chose, He called. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Glory in Him. He's done it all. Well, turn with me then again to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Listen to this. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. That's the Lord Jesus. As much God as if He was never man, as much man as if He was never God, and He made the world. Everything that was created by Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now listen to this. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God, born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One more verse of Scripture here in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 11. Verse 48. I thought it was. Chapter 13. Verse 48. Anyhow, Acts 13 and 48. I'll find it here. It says in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the only Savior of sinners. There's no need to anticipate somebody else coming. But he's come and he's gone and he's coming again. And he's the only Savior of sinners. I know that the majority of common people believe strongly that if they are good enough, they'll be accepted by God and go to heaven when they die. Makes no difference how good a man is. He's not good enough. To be good enough, you got to be perfect. You got to have a righteousness without spot or wrinkle. And our Lord said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't charge sin to that man. Because he charged sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the sin of every man and every woman and every girl who have been ordained unto salvation before the world was. Men and women, boys and girls, that God put in Christ before the world was. He put them there. Now listen to me. He put them in Christ before the world was. And where he put them, he kept them. Where did he put them? He put them in Christ and he kept them in Christ. He told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter in to heaven, except to be born again, except God calls him. And God's going to call everyone in whom he has foreordained and predestinated unto salvation, and they're going to know him. just like that fella in England said, I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. The Lord bless us, and the Lord bless this church.